Syndicated columnist Pat Buchanan said many years ago, Christian bashing is a popular indoor sport. Hello, I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is a portion of Vocal Point. Right now, our guest will be Dr. Cal Beissner, and he's going to be responding to a recent article in the New York Times, which takes Christian bashing to a whole new level. Here we are in the throes of a worldwide pandemic. And Catherine Stewart wrote an op-ed in the New York Times, the paper of record in the United States, supposedly. And the title is, The Religious Right's Hostility to Science is Crippling Our Coronavirus Response. And by the way, one of the main points she makes in the article is that because Trump has allowed the religious right to speak to him, included in the religious right are those who deny climate change, which is, in my opinion, becoming almost like a new religion. But anyway, this is part of the reason I want to have Dr. Cal Beissner of the Cornwall Alliance on the program to talk about this incredible article. Cal, welcome back to Vocal Point. It's great to have you back on again.
Thanks very much, Jerry. Really good to be with you again, even though we are in the midst of a pretty amazing period, and we're talking about a, frankly, scurrilous article. But it's always good to talk with you.
Sure. But, the New York Times is a paper of record, so what they say, people do sit up and take notice, but it seems like this article was just crazy. In fact, you say in a critique that it's just loaded with guilt by association, hasty generalizations, and also you mention that it poisons the well. Go ahead and wax eloquent about the article.
This same author, Catherine Stewart, back in 2016, had another New York Times opinion piece in which she attacked Christians for their engagement in public debate. And at the time, Josh Wester, in an article in The Federalist, described that article as juicy and salacious, incredulous and condescending, more witch hunt than editorial. Well, that's the same of this latest one that she has, The Religious Right's Hostility to Science is Crippling Our Coronavirus Response. That went in the Times on March 27. She particularly targeted the Cornwall Alliance, by the way, and said that we and our allies had ensured that President Trump would have incompetent advisors to help him handle federal response to the coronavirus pandemic. I wish I could say that Cornwall Alliance had that much influence. We have some, but certainly not that much. But I would also suggest that when she says that, she is automatically tarring Anthony Fauci and Deborah Birx, two of the top infectious disease medical scientists in the country and indeed in the world, and they are the ones who are leading the administration's response to the pandemic. Catherine Stewart has really taken things on here, and this article has had significant impact. I did a Google search just for its title 3 days after it appeared, and I got 6,060 hits. That means 6,060 different places around the internet. Hmm. That title, same title, had appeared. People were obviously paying attention. If I narrowed the search to just Catherine Stewart and Cornwall Alliance, you got 118 hits, so people were paying attention to that particularly. And that might explain why we got some pretty nasty emails over the last couple of days by people who had read this, somebody saying, stop denying science. There's a special place in hell for you folks. If any of your ilk get COVID-19, I hope you stick to your non-science beliefs and let someone else have a ventilator.
Wow.
Well, no, that's not quite exactly the attitude that we want to spread. We want to spread an attitude of legitimate concern about the coronavirus. It is a very, very dangerous pandemic, and we need to be doing all kinds of things to slow its spread, and of course to find a vaccine and to find effective therapies to help heal those who get infected.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned Fauci, Dr. Fauci, and then also Dr. Birx. And I just, since you and I were talking just the last couple of seconds, I've been scanning the article. And now that you mentioned those two by name, and we see them on TV all the time with the president and Vice President Trump, Vice President Pence. But she doesn't even mention those two in the article. And they're the ones that really are the ones discussing all this and how to deal with it and so forth. So in a sense, she's saying, look what Trump is doing. And then she uses examples of, you know, like Azar, that we don't really see much of him lately, you know, since this pandemic broke out and so forth. And anyway, it just seems as if she's just, you know, wanting to use this as an opportunity to bash the church, but she's not really offering any, you know, any realistic hope. Now, the one thing that she does say that Christians need to be spanked for, and it's just a few renegades, is there are some irresponsible pastors, one of whom has been arrested now, who have said, we don't care what the CDC says or what anybody says, we're still going to have church despite this virus, because God will heal you or something like that. And that's just very irresponsible. It's very unchristian. You know, love your neighbor as yourself. You don't want them to get sick, and we don't want to get sick.
Right. Stuart.
But that's the exception.
Pardon?
I said those ministers are the exception. They're not the norm.
Yeah. Yeah, Stewart is very clearly picking and choosing what evidence she wants to look at and what evidence she wants to very carefully ignore. She picks three pastors who are, frankly, on the extreme fringe of American Christianity. They are all followers of the name it and claim it, positive confession, health and wealth gospel movement, condemned as heresy by mainstream evangelicalism. But she presents them as if somehow or other they really represented evangelicals. And she ignores the response of evangelical leaders with far greater influence, such as Dr. Frank Wright, president of D. James Kennedy Ministries, right there with you, former president of National Religious Broadcasters. It's hard to find somebody with a larger following and with greater respect. And he said that love of our neighbor requires us to give our best effort in stopping the spread of the virus by measures that included avoiding large gatherings, such as church meetings. Joshua Arnold, the media coordinator for the Family Research Council, which is an organization that Stewart just hates, wrote in the Christian Post March 21 of the need for strong measures and urged churches to follow government instructions. Jay Sekulow, whom she also hates, of the American Center for Law and Justice and an outspoken Trump supporter, on March 24, urged people to, quote, follow the shelter-in-place protocols for everyone's protection. And I could go on listing more. I mean, for example, Focus on the Family, on its flagship radio program, had as a guest Dr. Francis Collins, who's the head of the National Institutes of Health. And he warned the danger and explained the need for widespread quarantines and shelter-in-place orders. There are so many more, but what she does is she picks unrepresentative examples and presents them as if they were representative, and then she ignores these far more representative ones. She also, by the way, Jerry, misrepresents the Cornwall Alliance. She said, not in this particular article, but in a March 2 article in the New Republic, she claims that we produced a declaration asserting, as a matter of theology, that there is no convincing scientific evidence that human contribution to greenhouse gases is causing dangerous global warming. Well, she has the same quote in her book on the power worshipers, which is basically why she wrote this article. She's getting PR to promote her new book. But our declaration didn't offer that judgment as a matter of theology. We said that we believed that our 76-page scholarly paper, Renewed Call to Truth, Prudence, and Protection of the Poor, justified that sentence. And the chapter on science in that paper was written by NASA award-winning climatologist Dr. Roy Spencer, who is principal research scientist in climatology at the University of Alabama in Huntsville, and the author of many peer-reviewed scientific papers on climate change, and he had the aid of 9 other scientists. So what she does is she builds caricatures, and then she knocks them down. That's called the straw man argument. You erect a man out of straw, you knock that down, and you declare that you won the argument. Well, this is crazy. She's arguing against people who, for the most part, don't exist.
That's a great point. And it's so funny, too, because when you think about it, at the end of the day, if the world were to place any blame on anybody for this virus, which got out of control, you'd have to say, well, it was the communists in China that allowed this, and still they haven't come forth about, you know, with all the truth. It's possible that the number of dead in China is far greater than they have said. But, you know, she doesn't say a word about godless, anti-Christian, you know, atheistic communism. She doesn't say a word about that, but she aims all of her guns, you know, at evangelicals who have the president's ear. Horrors. You know, the president's listening to some Christians. Uh-oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. And, you know, the fact is that essentially Catherine Stewart is a committed secularist who is determined to reduce the contribution of Christians to public debate, to civil discussion in this country. Her earlier book was called The Good News Club, The Religious Right's Stealth Attack on America's Children. And what she does there is she tries to argue that those who have said that, look, if government's going to allow voluntary student clubs on campuses of public schools for various purposes, it can't disallow those simply because they are religious in nature.
Right.
Because at the same time that government can't establish religion, it also cannot deny the free exercise of religion according to the First Amendment.
Right.
But she paints those people instead as people who want to force the Christian faith into public schools, force the public schools to proselytize children for the Christian faith, and so on. And all of this, of course, is, again, straw man argument. It's not what Christians are really after. We are simply after a level playing field. But
yes.
She doesn't want that.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And in fact, the Supreme Court dealt with both. They dealt with the Equal Access Act in the mid-1980s, and then later they dealt with the Good News Club, which is essentially the same basic issue. The only question was, now let's apply it towards children in the lower grades, not just high school. And in both cases, the U.S. Supreme Court said exactly what you said. Yes, this should be allowed. The irony is, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. The Supreme Court has even said in some cases that secular humanism is a form of religion, and for all practical purposes, secular humanism has been established in our nation's public schools. And she has nary a word to say about that, and, all, you know, unfortunately, there's just a whole lot of Christian bashing going on. All right, we've got 40 seconds to wrap up. What do you want to say in conclusion about this article and the coronavirus crisis?
Well, I suppose the big irony on this is that she is attacking Christians as anti-science and anti-climate change and anti-critical thinking. The reality is she has absolutely zero scientific credentials, and she obviously doesn't understand any of the issues here, and she obviously uses logically fallacious reasoning. We at the Cornwall Alliance, I think, are very, very different. We have nearly 70 scholars in our network. Roughly a third of them are natural scientists, PhDs, active in their fields. That's why I think people can really trust the information that we put out.
Cal Beisner, thank you so much for being with us. Cal's website is cornwallalliance.org.